Now, we all, I've taught over this whole year a lot of things about the Holy Spirit, but He is God. He's not a lesser God. He's not a secondary God. He is not just with us. Jesus said He has been with you, but He will be in you. And if you know Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. And you can actually be baptized in the Holy Spirit according to the Scriptures and be filled with the Holy Spirit according to the Scriptures. And He is God. He is one with the Father and one with the Son. To have the Holy Spirit is to have the Father and the Son. Say, well, how does that work? I don't know. But it's true. We don't serve three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We serve one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, people have fought about the Trinity for at least 2,000 years. I don't want to fuss with you about it. I just take what the Bible says and believe it. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, our helper, today. And having said that, as I said earlier, He is not our doer. A lot of times we call on God to do things for us that we must participate in. And one of the reasons we become disappointed in the Lord is because we think He should do things when, in fact, He's waiting for us to do something. He's come to help us in the doing, but He's not the doer for us. It's a very important distinction because a lot of times we misunderstand this whole idea of how God works in us and through us. So we'll take as our text this morning, John 14, and beginning in verse 15. And I want to read this from the Living New Testament. And let me get here. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. The word is advocate means helper. Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. Well, here's some thoughts about the Holy Spirit in this text. He is, first of all, our advocate. It's a great word. In the New King James translation, translated as helper, one who goes to bat for you, one who helps you in the battle, one who comes alongside to assist you. In the Greek, it's the parakletos, the one who is called alongside to assist. And so the Holy Spirit is God, but He is here to help us follow God. He's not here just to help us do whatever we want to do. He's here to help us as we pursue God, as we pursue the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we pursue putting God first in our lives and serving Him. You know, it is to your advantage to put God first place. It is to your advantage to choose to trust Him, as David was saying. I don't know about you, but there have been many times over the years where I've had to say, well, Lord, I'm just deciding right now I'm going to trust You. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. I don't know what I'm going to respond to this situation or circumstance, but I am choosing to trust You, and I believe the Holy Spirit is my helper, and He's going to help me in whatever way I need help in this situation. He's going to help me. But I want to call your attention to some of the words that I read in this text. It says that, very interesting, the world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. You know, one of the things I've learned about the Holy Spirit over the years is He comes where He's made welcome. He comes where He's invited. When you invite the Holy Spirit into your life or into your circumstance or into your situation, He responds to your invitation. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, He stays where He's made welcome. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, if you resist God, the Holy Spirit's not going to hang out with you. Now, I don't mean that He's going to abandon you to the demons and stuff like that, but I am saying if you're going to have a living relationship with Him, you have got to invite Him into your life and then comply with His leadership. Let Him help you. Think about it for a minute. Have you ever needed help from a human being? and someone would offer to help you in your garden with a project on a work job. And they'd offer that, but you would turn it down. No, I can do it. And sometimes it's, we might think, well, it's just pride. Well, it may be pride, but it may not be. Maybe you just don't want anybody messing with your stuff. You know, I found out when I invite the Holy Spirit to come and help me, He likes to mess with my stuff. And He doesn't feel like He is limited to what I'm inviting Him to do. He thinks He's God. And so He feels like when you invite God to come, God has a right, since you belong to Him, to talk to you and to deal with you about whatever He wants to. And the fascinating thing about that is when you allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you about what He wants to talk about, it seems to take care of things over here that don't seem to be related at all. It's a spiritual thing. I mean, it really is a spiritual thing. Because I've learned over and over and over, if I yield to the Lord in a particular area that He's talking to me about, it seems to have an effect over here in this area that I'm not even talking about. You know, see, God knows how to connect the dots when I don't even see that the dots are on the same page. He knows how to connect the dots. And so He comes to help us. And then in verse 26, on down in the text, it says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." So we see that the Holy Spirit is our helper, He is our teacher, and He is our reminder. I want to say it's not because I'm getting older, but it seems like I need more reminders now than I did in times past. But I think that's a deception. The fact is, I've always needed reminders. It's like you can, teenagers, I don't mean this to be offensive to you, but it's like we know y'all need reminding. That's why mom and dad are there. They're professional reminders. But that means they're working with the Holy Spirit, because that's what He does. He's a reminder. He's a helper. He's a teacher. Holy Spirit will lead you. He will teach you things that you don't know about. And He will remind you of things about God that you have forgotten. Let me show you this text. I just love this text. I try not to read it too often, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's one of my favorites. You know, when you see something and it just changes you, it becomes a favorite. This is in chapter 2, and it's this great passage where it says, "But it is written," and this is a prophecy, it says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." I've heard that quoted and quoted and quoted, and it's like God is mysterious, and He's got all these secret things for you, and you can't even imagine how good it is. I thought, that's interesting. But in verse 10, I love the word "but." But God. Everybody say, "but God." Remember what it says here? "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." Listen, God wants you to get it. The Holy Spirit has come for you to get it, for you to get understanding, for you to get revelation, for you to understand what eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for you. But it's not to be a secret and to be a hidden thing. God's will is for you to get it, but the way you get it is through the activity of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who is our teacher, and who is our reminder. You know, I've done several funerals lately. One of my favorite texts about that is in 1 Thessalonians. It says, "For God would not have you to be ignorant about those who have died." I just don't think God has a premium on ignorance. You know, the Bible says, even in the prophecies, Habakkuk, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." You know, it's nothing to be proud of to be ignorant. Well, I just didn't know. Well, learn. Well, I just didn't know God thought like that. Well, let's get it. Holy Spirit is God, right? He's a person. He's not just with us. He is in us. And He is in us to help us, to teach us, and to remind us. But He comes where He's invited, and He stays where He's made welcome. You know, the Bible talks about how we can grieve the Holy Spirit. You ever wondered what that means? What in the world does that mean? Well, that means when He's trying to instruct you and you go do something stupid. You know, you choose to do worldly stuff, not godly stuff. Back in the Corinthian correspondence, listen to this verse, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Why is it that the church wants to live as close to the world as it can get? What is it? What is about that? Why do we think like that? What is that? There's something attractive about worldliness. You see it in the way we dress, and the music we listen to, the entertainment we engage in movies and TV and things like that. And there's just a tendency to push the edges to be as close to the world. It's kind of like I want to be as close to the edge as I can get without falling off. When in fact, the plan of God is for you to run from the edge as far as you can so that there's never a danger of falling off. Now, the opposite of worldliness is not legalism. Because a lot of times we Christians get into this idea that if we can keep the rules, if we can figure out what the rules are, and then number two, if we can keep the rules long enough, then God will like us. How many of you read the Bible where it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Friends, it's not about keeping the rules. Not with God. Now, there's boundaries in relationship, and you need to learn how those things work, but it's not about whether God loves you or not. It may be whether your friend loves you or not, but it's not about whether God loves you or not, because your friend's not God. And we should quit expecting our friends to be God. We're all broken, ladies and gentlemen. We all have worldly tendencies. We all have selfish tendencies. We all tend to want our way. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, church. You know? But we've been given a helper. This is a real simple message today. We have been given a helper. And the helper is not just a helper, but it's God Himself. It is God Himself, the Holy Spirit. And He's come to teach us and to remind us. He's also a comforter. There's other words that describe the ministry and the activity of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. I hear what the Word of God, I hear what the Bible is saying about the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, He loves you. One of the best places to figure that out and work that out, and what does it look like, and how do you know you're hearing from God? There's always dangers in this, in the charismatic world, in our community, when we talk about, because we believe that God is alive and dynamic and actively involved in our lives. We believe that God is not mute, nor is He deaf. He is still speaking and He can hear. And that He was speaking to you, and He will speak. As our friend Don Couch says, one word from God can change your life. One word that somebody says is from God that didn't come from God can really goof you up too. You know? But listen, God is not mute. He is not a God who doesn't speak. He is still speaking today. He speaks through His Word and He speaks by His Spirit. There is always in harmony and a balance between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. If you have the Word of God to the exclusion of the Spirit of God, you have legalism. If you have the activity of the Holy Spirit apart from the balance of the Word of God, you have flakiness. But we do our flakiness in the name of Jesus. And we do some of the most foolish and contrary, oddball things, and we call it God. You know, I found out common sense is not so common. I don't know why we call it common, because it's not common. But the Holy Spirit has come to help us have common sense. Oh, I feel like the Lord's leading me to go do this flaky thing. Now, we never say it's flaky. It seems perfectly reasonable to the one who thinks they're being led by the Spirit. Seems perfectly reasonable. And everybody around you is saying, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Kindly, of course. But sometimes we don't even say it to you. We just look at you and say, oh, yeah. And we keep on walking. That's why you need to be in a connection group. You need to have enough relationship with somebody that when you go flaky, they can look at you and say, you know, I love you, Brian, but that's not, you're not firing on all thrusters here. You know, where did you come up with that idea? Well, God told me that's not the God. That's not the God of the Bible. I don't know what God you're talking about. But, you know, you have to have relationship with people to have those conversations. You have to have relationship with somebody to know they love you enough to take a risk to tell you something you don't want to hear. Because in our culture, when people say things to you that you do not want to hear, we generally reject them out of hand. We not only reject the word, we distance ourselves from that relationship. Because not only does the Holy Spirit speak through the Word of God, not only does the Holy Spirit speak through by Himself in your own heart, but sometimes the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, will speak through a friend. And you have to be able to sort that out. But that's a learning process. It's not an event. You grow in that. And you know what? You're going to make mistakes along the way. That's another reason why you want to have friends. So that when you bust your nose, somebody will pick you up and give you a tissue and say, wipe off the blood. Let's go some more. I know you're embarrassed, but get over it. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is God Himself. He's not just with us. He is in us. And the things that you don't know about, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, hadn't even entered into the heart of man, the Holy Spirit, Paul says, the apostle, has been given to us to reveal those things to us. You ever been in a situation where you're just walking around saying, man, I just don't understand. I just don't get it. You know, I mean, you could do it with David this morning, just since he got up here and went public with his washing machine. You could say, well, I just don't understand why God lets things like that happen. God didn't have anything to do with that. It's like, I bought that washing machine for him for 15 years ago or something. Yeah, I don't know. You know, the hoses wear out. As my wife is frequent to say, and as David said, sometimes we wonder about the timing of things. And it's really important that in the timing of things that you get a grip on yourself and you serve Jesus. You know, when things happen that are untoward, you do not want to go worldly. What's worldly mean? Worldly means doing it, deal with it the way the world does. Grump, grouch, grouse, be mad at God, blame God. You don't want to do that. God is with you. Holy Spirit's with you to help you. To teach you something about washing machines if He has to. How many think the Holy Spirit, God Himself, is actually knows something about washing machines? What He knows about is your heart. The washing machine is insignificant if you keep your heart right. The flooded carpet is insignificant if you keep your heart right. You understand? See, the circumstance doesn't matter. The tumor doesn't matter if you keep your heart right. The bad diagnosis doesn't matter if you keep your heart right. And the Holy Spirit has come to teach us those things and to remind us that that stuff doesn't have near as much power as God has if we keep our heart right. And you know who has the power to keep their heart right? God, I wish You'd fix my heart. He won't do it. Well, Lord, I just wish You'd take that unforgiveness out of me. Well, why don't you forgive Susie Q? Well, I'll never forgive her. Well, honey, you're just going to live with tormentors for a while. Until you get miserable enough, then you finally repent and forgive, and then you can be free. Well, God ought to help me. The Holy Spirit's my helper. He will. He'll help you repent. And then once you've repented, He'll help you get well. But He will not help you get well. Here's the thing the Holy Spirit doesn't do. He doesn't put the horses in front of the cart. Yeah, cart in front of the horse. He doesn't do it backwards. Whatever I said. Thank you, wife. You know, it's like I want to be forgiven, but if you won't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Jesus said that. 4 different gospels He said it. He's to help us, but He helps us do what allows God to have place and work in our lives. He's our helper. He's our teacher. He's our reminder. How many of you ever learned the lesson more than once on something? Lord, I don't want to go around this mountain again. You know, Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. You can be there 40 days or 40 years. It's your choice. I don't always get it, but sometimes I'll recognize and say, Lord, you know what? I must not have gotten this because we're here again. What is it about this circumstance that you want to teach me about to keep me from having to deal with this aggravation? What is it that I'm not seeing? What is it that I'm not getting? What is it that's not working in my life? Because I know the will of God is good for me. The will of God is love for me. The will of God is great for me. The will of God is gracious for me. The will of God is provision for me. The will of God is peace for me. The will of God is power for me. The will of God is good for me in every way. God is a good God. So how in the world do I get in these aggravating circumstances? What about my choices and my life am I not seeing from a Holy Spirit perspective that allows me to get back here? I pray that prayer. Lord, I need help. Lord, I need your help. 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 And I need to be reminded that I need your help. And you're my teacher. I want to get it. I want to get it. Don't you want to get it, church? I want to get it. Because the Holy Spirit is my helper. Oh, man, I just love this. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Now, let's go back to the beginning. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's not our doer. He helps me do. He doesn't do for me. He helps me do. So, once again, so God's not deaf and God's not mute. That means God is listening to you and God is speaking to you. And He will speak to you through the Word of God. He will speak to you by the Spirit of God. And He will speak to you through your friends. He will also speak to you through spiritual authority. And you never, that is never tested until the spiritual authority says something you don't want to hear. It's just true, isn't it? I mean, it's really true. You know, as long as I say yes to everybody, everybody's happy with me as pastor. Really, I mean, it's true with my kids. As long as I said yes to James and David, they were all happy. But when I said no, how far can that lip stick out when you're 3? You know, and you see it in your kids, they can trip over that lip. Isn't that right? Cross them arms. You know, now, we don't do that as adults. Well, mostly. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He loves us. He only wants good for us. Anytime the Holy Spirit leads you to deny yourself, to do something for God, that's a good thing for you. It doesn't always feel good. It doesn't feel good because it feels like you are being restrictions are being put on you. You don't get to have your way. You don't get to act the way you want to act. It feels uncomfortable to your flesh. It feels uncomfortable to your emotions. But it's not uncomfortable. How many of us have said, you know, this hurts me worse than it hurts you? Yeah, and they look at us and say, right. But my Bible says you take up your cross every day and you follow Jesus. And when you do that, you live a rewarding life. But the Holy Spirit is sent to help us do that. He's sent to teach us about that. And He's sent to remind us that God loves us. So I want to remind you this morning before we close, God loves you. God really loves you. Even when He's speaking to you about something that you're uncomfortable about, it doesn't mean He doesn't love you. He loves you. Holy Spirit's wonderful. He's wonderful. I appreciate Him. I appreciate Him. Well, Pastor, you're talking about the Holy Spirit a lot today. What about Jesus? Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father, one God. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Jesus is in you. You can hear the Father's voice. It's really the way it is. Don't get confused about it. Don't get overthinking it. Just thank God for the Holy Ghost. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be listening to the Spirit. I want to have the courage to ask the Holy Spirit to come. I want to have the courage to say, Holy Spirit, not only do I want you to come, but I want you to stay right here. No matter how I behave or how I act, please stay right here with me and don't give up. I will come around if you keep it up, if you stay with me, you know. So I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to cause the Holy Spirit to feel like, I don't exactly know the best way to illustrate it, but for me it's like He likes to hang out with me more than I like to hang out with Him. What did He say? The Holy Spirit likes that. He wants to hang out with you. It's His desire to help you, to protect you, to guide you, to lead you, to lead you in making decisions that will be safe for you, that will be rewarding for you. No matter how hard it is, He will lead you. That's the heart of God, to redeem you. Listen, even in the Psalms, the Bible says God delights in the prosperity of His servants. God gets no joy out of your suffering because you make poor choices. God doesn't sit on His throne and laugh about it. Boy, Mike, look at that stupid decision you made. Yeah, I thought you'd have got it by now. That is not the heart of God. That is not the heart of God. As soon as Mike comes to Him and says, Holy Spirit, I did it again. Would you come and help me? He's there. Usually the first thing He says is, repent. Well, I get tired of repenting. Well, get over it. You're going to need to repent a lot before heaven. All right. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? So, what is it? The Holy Spirit has come to help us, to teach us, and to remind us. Amen? To help us, say it with me, come on. The Holy Spirit is coming to help me, to teach me, and to remind me about God. So that I can see my life, my world, my experiences from a God perspective, and not just from my earthly perspective. Not just from a worldly perspective, but from a God perspective, from the kingdom of God. God has come to help me. He has not left me alone. Jesus said in another place, in John 14, said, I will not leave you alone, but I will send a helper. You know, when you feel alone, you're not. Oh, I don't know what to do, Pastor. He's in you. He's with you. He's a breath away. He's a prayer away. Lord, I need your help. And then quiet your heart. Listen to what he's talking about. Say, well, you know, Pastor Chad, I don't always get it. I don't always understand God. No, you grow in that. That's why you need the body of Christ. That's why where you go to church matters. That's why what you've been taught matters. I mean, really. It's not enough to be religious, you guys. I'm not going to preach again. I know I closed my Bible. Somebody said, what does that mean? Nothing. I can preach without opening it. But really, you have to understand that Jesus taught this parable in Luke. He said, you know, there was a man who built his house. He dug down deep and he built it on a rock. And there was another man that was building a house. He didn't dig down deep. He must have lived in Oklahoma. He just built it on the ground. You know, and then the storms and the rain and the wind and the furor of nature came to both houses. And the man who was founded upon the rock house was still standing when the storm was finished. You know, Justin, that's what you've been doing. You haven't done it perfectly, but you've been establishing your house on a rock foundation. That's why this week you texted me your testimony. Because you've been making right choices. I'm not saying you made all right choices, but I'm saying you've been making right choices. And you've been doing it now for over a year. But when the storm came, when it's finished, your house is standing. And that's because of choices you made to prepare for that battle. I thought that. I read that text and I said, Justin's getting the fruit of his choices here. You don't have to choose God all the time, right, every time. You just need to make it a point to start choosing God as much as you can. And you'll grow into it. And the choices you make for God will begin to establish you on a rock. And when the storm comes, and it will come, I'm not a preacher who can stand up here and tell you, if you just serve Jesus, everything's going to be rosy and you'll never have a difficulty. That is a lie from the pit of hell. There's an adversary out there and he wants to destroy your life and destroy your family. But when you establish your house on a rock, when your life is made out on decisions of obeying the Word of God, hearing what the Spirit is doing the best you can to do it, failing your way into success, repenting your way into a place of grace. When the storm comes and the wind's gone and the rain's gone, here you stand. Guys, I know what I'm talking about. I remind you who are new. When that doctor said, my God, look at the size of that tumor in April 2002. The first thing I thought was Philippians 1:4, which says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord. The second thing I thought was 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation or trouble given among men, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you're able, but with every temptation, with every test, he will make a way of escape to you. And I'm 10 years cancer free. I know what I'm talking about. If you will establish your house on the Word of God and you will begin to make choices to obey God the best you can, and you repent your way into success, and you invite the Holy Spirit to come, and you make Him welcome, and you yield yourself to Him, and you say, yes, Lord, as much as you know how to say yes, Lord. When the storm comes, and when it's finished doing all it can do, you'll be standing there. And you'll be have something to help the other people whose houses weren't established on the rock. Having said that, let me say thank you. Last week in our Buddy Barrel offering for the backpacks, $1,080. When we took the check to the pastor over there, he was, shall I say, happy. He was blessed. He's almost speechless. It's hard for a pastor to get speechless. All right, amen. Guys, we want the Holy Spirit at Life Changer. We want the Holy Spirit to have His way. And if it seems strange and odd to us, we want to be able to say, yes, Lord. If it seems structured and rigid to us, we want to say, yes, Lord. You know, just because something's wild and crazy doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a wild and crazy storm came by Elijah in the cleft of the rock and God wasn't in it. So we don't want to equate wild and crazy necessarily with just the activity of the Holy Spirit. Although I got to say, sometimes when the Holy Spirit gets to moving and messing with people, it gets wild and crazy. And that's okay. But my heartfelt prayer is, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, stand up with me. Come. Holy Spirit, come. Did you get done?
It seems this morning, as speaking of, you know, the Holy Spirit, and He helped you to see things that maybe you wouldn't normally see, that just seem kind of, you know, average or whatever. But when He gives you eyes to see, then it's like, whoa, that's kind of obvious. And this is kind of one of those things. It seemed to me that in the prayer request that we had this morning, that it wasn't just healing for sickness and so on. So a couple of them were that. But a lot of them were regarding accidents. And so, you know, Ellen's mom had an accident. Chad had an accident. I don't know who else. Someone else had an accident.
Well, David,
I
fell down. David's thing
was an accident. I fell down some stairs this week. And, I mean, my feet just flew out from under me. And I hit my bottom, hit the stairs, and I slid down. Boom, 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 boom. And, I mean, I hurt myself. And, you know, not as bad as it probably could have been, but, you know, I've been feeling that. So, anybody out here been dealing with an accident? Becky raising her hand. Miss Murnell. Steve. Anyone else? Accident. Injury, you know. Jessica. So, you know, it's like if you see one or two things, it's like, oh, okay, that's not too big of a deal. But when you start, when like in just a short period of time, a whole bunch of folks all have the same thing, it's like, now wait a minute here. So what I want to do is I want to pray for those who've had injury regarding accidents. And then I want to pray over the rest of us. Yeah, exactly. For protection and take authority over the enemy who may be trying to, you know, work some
mischief.
Exactly, good word, Pastor. So you know, just raise your hand if you're one of those ones who've had an accident. Just raise your hand before the Lord, not for me so I can see. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over accidents and injury and trauma in Jesus' name. Now, you know, we call it an accident because we didn't plan on it happening. And, but Lord, we just cancel that. We cancel the effect and what the enemy has tried to do to steal, to kill, to destroy, to harm. We cancel that in the name of Jesus. And we speak recovery of function and healing to body parts and recovery of things that have been lost in regard to accidents in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your provision. And I speak over this congregation, Father, and bind any work of the enemy, any assignment against your people to try from the enemy to try to steal from them, to try to harm them, to try to in any way discourage them through accidents, to cause them to lose wages, to cause them to lose function, to cause them to be harmed in any way. Y'all agree? In Jesus' name, we set ourselves in agreement. We say, no more. Stop it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.